listening to the UK and the world's favorite wrestling podcast, RTM Wrestling, with your hosts, Andy and Emma.
And it started.
She's pressing record.
Press record. Gave you your 0 second warning.
Try to find a Battle for the Valley card.
Oh.
Just can't fucking find anything. Why are they not asked?
Dunno. Are we still prepping? Well, shall I stop?
No. Okay. It's just mad, does it?
Doesn't not matter. Really.
No, it's because it's Battle for the Valley this weekend and Nakada's come over for it. And he's doing Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is gonna be a fucking great match.
He's done really well to book that, don't you think?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if it, you know, the fact that he, see, the thing with this stuff, and, you know, obviously there was a lot of rumours going around last night about Okada turning up on Dynamite, which I still don't know if it happened or not, because I've not watched it, because I fell asleep.
I highly doubt it. I think we would have seen it.
I think we would have seen it,
on
yeah.
Twitter.
But I know Okada's name was mentioned, because the best friends have joined Chaos.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But the, what was I going to say? Yeah, so, you know, he could have, he could have been on fucking Full Gear. But instead he's doing, you know, the New Japan show, which is, you know, totally what he should be doing.
Mm.
But if Okada became available, you know, they would have moved heaven and earth to have him on that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's odd. The whole thing with AEW is odd, and New Japan. It's the fact that, like, Jay White, Impact, it's like Suzuki's doing, like, a full, like, you know, tour, so he's obviously was able to go on it. Kojima, it just all seems a bit odd. Like New Japan don't really want to be in bed with him.
Mm.
But hey, what are you gonna do?
How are you?
Well,
got in there.
Got
woo!
In there first. Yeah, I'm not bad. I'm very, very tired. I've got so much fucking work to do. It's just breaking my brain, but it's the same thing every week. I should be used to it by now. Mm. I didn't watch Dynamite. I turned it on last night thinking I'd be alright. Ended up falling asleep, I think, 10 minutes into it. So into the Daniel Bryan Rocky Romero match, which I was really looking forward to, but I still ended up falling asleep. Yeah, I don't know. I'm all right.
Good.
I don't feel great, but you know, it is what it is. It's just one of them.
It's one of them,
isn't it? How are you doing?
I'm okay. Busy day. Went to Stoke-on-Trent for a meeting today. Mm-hmm. Spent the whole day in Stoke-on-Trent.
Lovely place.
Do you know what?
Especially
it was
at this time of year.
Do you know what?
Fuck off.
No, honestly, Stoke-on-Trent train station, when you come out, the university buildings are all around you.
Yeah, I remember that. Stoke.
Because Stoke, funnily enough, here you go, everyone. Stoke-on-Trent, for those who don't know, and everyone probably does know, Stoke-on-Trent train station is not in the centre of the
No, it's not.
It's miles away.
Well, like, remember, we had to get it to Stoke to go to that event, didn't we?
Yeah, but I thought that event was, like, in the middle of nowhere, so I couldn't really get a perspective.
Yeah, it was. We had to get a taxi from that.
But, like, you come out and the towns, usually you expect the major train station comes out in your sort of city centre. And it just doesn't. It comes out in, like, the student part of the city. I presume Stoke's a fucking city. Of course it is. But, yeah. Like, it comes out in, like, the student part. And all that's there, really, is universities, a huge college, a couple of colleges, I think. And not a lot else. There's some businesses. So, But the university buildings and stuff, really lovely. Feels like you're on campus when you come out the train station. It's nice.
See, I remember being, I remember the train station, but I don't remember being outside of it.
I was the same, because I was like, I remember this platform and all that jazz, but
yeah, I remember it being reasonably
nice. It was nice, you know.
Stoke's got a bad reputation for being a shithole, though.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I didn't go into the town. I didn't go into the sort of city centre, so like, I mean, but then again, so was like, you know, I'm sure people would say like Bolton was a shithole. Manchester is a shithole.
Well, we know Bolton's a shithole.
Well, yes.
We know they get battered everywhere they go.
Everywhere they go. But But I have a soft spot for Bolton because it's where I used to go every weekend when I was a teenager because I wasn't allowed to go into town, but I was allowed to go to the big town, the shiny lights of Bolton on a Saturday. Jesus. Fiver spending money, 32p on the bus each way, CD single and a pasty from Greg's, buzzing. Sometimes I'd get myself a 99p burger from McDonald's and I was really buzzing.
Wow. Those are the days.
Oh my
those
God. Are the days. The last good decade was the 90s. As I was talking to you with Chris, the last good decade was the 1990s.
Well, I missed most of it.
I went to school, started school, listen, and I know we're going to get onto wrestling. I started school in 89 and I left school in 2001. So my entire school life was just a tour of the 1990s.
Good. Good stuff.
Everything. From Take That Duffel Bags to Spice Girls to whatever the fuck we were all listening to when we went into the millennium.
Oh, Robbie Williams.
Millennium.
Crap, that guy. That fucking guy. What a piece of shit. Anyway, the just a little side note from the reason why there wasn't a Sunday podcast.
Ah, yes.
Is we were at the Bolton Wanderers versus Stockport County game. It was amazing. It was so great. And thanks everyone for kind of tweeting along, you know, Chris especially kind of looking at the scores and stuff and hopefully watch the highlights. We were in that absolute fucking madness in that away end.
Yeah, it was amazing,
which was great. Just people just fucking, we were right at the right hand side, so we were right next to their fans. Oh, the back and forth was just it was just brilliant. It's exactly what I remembered it to be from away games. So that was great. Do you want to get going? Have you got anything else? Or do you want to maybe mention a Spice Girl?
Oh my God, yeah. My favourite, speaking of the 90s, my favourite Spice Girl quite clearly got paid to attend WWE Live in Manchester last night.
Because that's what you've got to do to go to a WWE show these days, is get paid or have a buy one, get one free ticket. Burn.
Yep. Yeah, so I woke up this morning and, you know, when you feel like you've crossed over into another dimension, and I opened up Twitter and Sami Zayn's like, oh, Mel B called me a pussy. And then it was a quote tweet saying, that's because you are. I'm like, what the fuck's happening? Like, where am I? Like, where am I? Yeah, so Mel B went to the WWE Live at Manchester last night. But I enjoyed that.
On VKM's dollar.
Of course, yeah. I'm sure she got put up in a lovely hotel. Got to bring a family, maybe. Or maybe not, just her. Just bring yourself.
We'll pay you $5,000 or whatever. Yeah.
We'll helicopter you in, helicopter you out. But they always do that. And I was saying this to you before. Like, last time they were... Well, maybe not the last time. I don't know. Probably, actually. Because
the last time
pandemic,
we know about.
Yeah. You know, it was that whole, like, beef with Wayne Rooney and whoever the fuck.
That was fucking years ago, babe. That was when we went to it.
But they seem to do it with Manchester. It's really weird. It's like, yeah. Do you know what I think it is? Manchester, there's a lot of quite famous people on tap in the area.
And who are willing to get paid to do something.
Whereas London, there's a lot going on in London and the celebrities are elsewhere doing better shit. Whereas if you're up north, there's not a whole lot of shit that someone will pay you to attend.
Yeah.
Like, good money and probably put you up in a hotel.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a Spice Girl?
You get a Spice Girl. That's just the be all and end all of it. Thirsty, thirsty fuckers. Should we get going then?
Let's do it.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling episode 185. God damn it. Hope you're all well. Hope you're all safe. My name's Andy.
I'm Gemma.
And we're a wrestling podcast, if you didn't know by now, after 185 episodes, plus a further 300 that are on YouTube.
Crikey.
Never to probably see the light of day ever again. I hope you're all good. I hope you have an amazing week. And what the fuck have we got to talk about today? Well, there's a lot. Well, there isn't a lot, but there's a lot of really fun stuff. One is this RTM Cup. It's already getting out of hand, but in a good way. We've got Full Gear as well coming up this weekend. I'll be completely honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I learned that Full Gear was this weekend yesterday. And I was like, holy shit, it's this weekend. What?
You've had a lot going on.
Well, I do you know what? My brain can't think an hour ahead. So hence why we're doing a podcast, just to try and give me a break from It's but crap.
Can I just say, just to interject a little bit there?
Yes.
Do you remember when you used to say, you know, I'm running my business, I'm stressed to fuck and all that shit, and like, I try and keep it all to myself and all that crap, so not to inflict it upon you. Do you remember when you used to say, what do you want to do this weekend? And I'd be like, I'll be honest, I haven't thought any further than... Like, that's where my brain's been at for the last 3 years since starting a business. It's like, when it gets to Friday night, you know, you are so relieved that the week's over, but you haven't thought at all about... your mind's blank. You know, when you're given a little bit of time or there's something that... And you forget everything. All the shit that, like, when you had a bit more capacity, you'd spend weeks looking forward to and really excited about. Suddenly they're upon you and you're like, fuck, my brain used to prepare me for this shit. And now I've got no capacity whatsoever to even think beyond work.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy that you're with me in the doldrums at all. But I understand the feeling. It sucks. Yeah,
it's fucking awful.
Yeah, it sucks dick.
It's awful. But oh well. Not that there's anything wrong with sucking dick.
No. That's true,
but it does
actually
suck dick.
Sucks vagina, because they're really ugly.
Nothing wrong with that, either.
They're bloody ugly.
Have you got your pad anywhere with the matches written down?
I can get it. Because
I should really do... Because the final... Well, not the final.
I've got it here.
The third match will be over any time soon.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it is incredibly close.
I need to...
I need to
go back a few pages. Do I? Oh, no, now they're here.
I need to put the next one kind of up.
So, Darby Allin won, yes?
Yeah, I'm going to go through that.
I'm ruining it.
So, RTM Cup, let's start there. So, two matches, three matches down by the end of this podcast. So match one, Darby Allin versus Becky Lynch. It was a landslide, Darby Allin. So cross Becky Lynch's name off.
She's gone.
Doesn't matter if you're having real life beef with Charlotte. Doesn't matter if you're the man. You're out.
You're out.
It's over.
You're out, bitch.
Second match, Okada versus Matt Cardona. Come on now. What the fuck was coming on here, right? Apparently... Having one death match in your entire career and making a new internet championship. Just let this sink in, this comment, guys. Making a new internet championship and having one death match a year is better than winning the G1.
You know what?
Come on.
We included him, so it's our fucking problem.
It's because of fucking Gaz. That's why we included him, motherfucker.
What was the... Interesting, can you just... I don't know if you have them. Can you tell me the percentages of match one and match two? Please do.
It was Well, I have to go back through. I don't have them readily available. But match one was like fucking 80% to 20.
Okay.
Match two was like 85% to 15. They weren't even close.
Bullshit is what you said.
Yeah, like three people apparently know who Okada is. Please, guys, come on.
Well,
I'm gonna start. If I weren't so skinned because I'm a poor student now, I'd be starting fucking giving away New Japan World subscriptions because you bitches need educating. Like, you really do. This is a nightmare. Always, all the gifts as well from Axel. All the fucking cheeky gifts. Get the fuck out of here. Unbelievable. So the Rainmaker gets eliminated by Mr. fucking Woo Woo Woo. Anyway.
Speaking of rain...
Oh, see, we don't even know where this
is. Is it not finished?
It's not, right. It's not finished.
So we've got Roman Reigns versus Britt Baker, by the way, as match three.
And I can't call it early because it is daft close.
Shit.
It's 54% to 45 currently.
Can it be retweeted again? Try and give it another push?
No, I think I did it like 2 hours ago. I don't want to fucking keep bombarding people.
Right,
fuck it, let's retweet it.
Do it. Do it. It's the final push.
I'll put...
Final
last
push.
30 mins. Last 30 mins. Let's see. But yeah, Roman Reigns, Britt Baker. So we'll give you the old
razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle at the end of the podcast because it'll definitely be over then. So what's match four?
Match four is Hangman and Andrade.
Sweet Jesus. Well, I think that's a no brainer. I think we're back to no brainers after that one.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But the So, what was I going to say then? Oh, yeah, so Lee Price message saying, "Oh, you're doing a bracket," or "I thought you were doing like draws." So I'm still up in the air about that, whether I want it as a bracket, because if it's a bracket, the next match is Darby Allin against Matt Cardona.
Maybe we should do another draw. It'd be fun. I've still not designed the bracket, we could change it.
We'll just do a draw.
I enjoyed the draw.
Yeah, the draw was fun. Yeah. And it'll give us something to talk about on the podcast. Cause,
and it's
like,
totally random.
Yeah,
it remains random.
Yeah, I don't give a shit now a card has gone.
Well,
I don't give a fuck now who wins it. No, I'm joking, obviously. But yeah, it's very close. So we'll see what happens there.
Do you know what? Genuinely, I was quite surprised at the Darby Allin Becky Lynch being quite the landslide. I thought it would be like the Roman Reigns Britt Baker, you know, where it'd be quite, you know, I thought Darby had edged it, because I feel like people who follow us, you know, more than likely watch AEW because we don't talk about WWE anymore. But
yeah, so I've got the actual figures. It was 72.2% to 27.8%.
Shit.
And somebody did reply saying, well, one of them's only been back for 2 months.
Doesn't matter.
It's like, that's not the point, though.
Doesn't matter. It's Matt Cardona, like you just said.
Matt Cardona.
Can he
eat
your ass, can he?
Matt Cardona, right, only just got in this tournament on a technicality when he turned up and had a cup of coffee in AEW.
He's Marine FC.
He's a fucking technicality. That's pissed me off no end. No, I'm joking, obviously. I'm not that bothered. But yeah, so technicality, Matt Cardona is in there. I think the thing with like Darby and Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch, because the thing is with this is, you know, the question is who's had the better year,
mm-hmm.
but people won't take it like that, you know. Within, you know, because if you looked at who had the better year, Matt Cardona wouldn't have beat Okada.
Well,
so
of course
it's
not.
It's what who people know and who people like.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment they've turned Becky Lynch heel. She's been in the worst booking of her career.
Yep.
She's, you know, getting into fucking scrapes with Charlotte. So no one gives a fuck. Like, nobody outside of the people that were lucky enough to buy. Do you know what else I saw for that that New York show that they're miles behind AEW on, and so they started giving away 2-for-1 tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if you buy 2, you can get 5.
Fuck off!
It's just stupid. It's stupid.
That's, do you know what we were likening it? We were being a bit snidey because we remembered a Groupon deal that came through where the Saturdays, when they were still a thing, it was buy one get one free on Groupon. And we were lumping them with the Saturdays. It's worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the
worse
Saturdays,
Saturdays
were more popular than WWE.
Right, this is the fucking thing that's pissing me off at the moment. It's when AEW did Arthur Ashe Stadium and did over 20,000 people, all these Marx's argument, these WWE drones, their argument was, oh, well, the reason why they sold 20,000 tickets in New York is because their ticket prices were less. Well, motherfuckers, you're miles behind now, and the average ticket price now, because of buy one, get one free, is $7.50. You can't even sell the building out for $7.50. You can tell I'm tired, because I'm on my high horse already. But I shouldn't be arsed, but I am. I'm fucking sick of seeing it.
Yes,
I'm sick of seeing this bullshit fight between, like, two companies who were so opposed to each other.
I'm
all these fucking dweeb fans,
I'm
like,
sick
arguing
of
about it.
A particular fan base, actually. There's one fan base I'm really sick of.
Which one? Let's go for it. Which one?
I'm sick of the Sasha Banks fan base. I think it's...
She's got a fan base?
Babe. Their fan base is disgraceful.
So
it's...
Sasha Banks' fans?
Yes.
Right. Talk to me, why?
Not just fans, stans. Like, they are...
Stans?
Yeah, they're...
What's that mean?
Stan,
Eminem.
You know, yeah, like, you know, it's Stan, isn't it? Like someone who like really idolizes him.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so the Sasha Stans are like insane to the point where they've taken it upon themselves to attack Britt Baker in any capacity that they can.
What?
They've gone out. I don't know how this has. I don't understand. I don't know whether it. I don't know what sparks it. I honestly don't. It's come from somewhere. But, like, I saw something the other day where one of the Sasha Stans had put on something like, I can't even remember. It was something like a fucking picture of Britt Baker. And I'm just going to say a random word because I can't remember what the...
Right.
And a sprout. let's say. Right. And it's like, make the link, guys. What's the link? Or what does this mean? And oh my God, and they're just like, just the fucking putrefying. They're like accusing Britt Baker of being a racist. I've seen that flying what? About. It's all become how? Like this mad race issue of Britt Baker just needs to be taken down, and it's why? Fucking disgraceful. And I, before I'd seen that, I'd seen a few tweets on the timeline, not on the list, on the timeline of like everybody that we follow.
So I don't saying look at the
these Sasha stans are fucking insane. They're like actually mad, and I was seeing that for weeks. Like they're fucking crazy. Like they're off their head, like to the point of like abusing other wrestlers because in different companies because they're such a big fan of Sasha Banks that they're just going out their way to troll. Like full on troll.
What, calling Britt Baker a racist?
They're trolling Britt Baker why? At the moment. I don't know what sparked it, but they're fucking going after her. They're going after her. It's wild. It's like a fan base. It's the only thing I can liken it to at the moment that I've seen that's fucking mad is the K-pop fan base, right. Where they're mad. They're fucking like, and when I say mad, what I mean is they're mad for them. I'm not right. saying they're fucking crazy.
Is it like the One Direction thing when they're tweeting yes. them and putting like 355, 56,
it's
57?
On that level. It's such a wild, it's fucking wild. And, you know, like, I don't know a lot about it. So obviously, you know, if there's any sort of person who can give me some sort of context out there as to why the Sasha fans are so fucking angry.
Do you want the context?
Yeah, a little bit, because it makes no bastard in sense. Like, why are you going after...
I mean, it's just fucking mongs. This is the thing with WWE, because, like, AEW have got shit fans as well. But with the AEW fans, it is the scenario of punching up.
Mm-hmm.
So they can... They can be forgiven. They can't be forgiven for what they say, and they can't be forgiven for being fucking stupid, because a lot of them are fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But the WWE fans are stupid and punching down, and there's nothing more like fucking silly for two professional wrestling companies for their fans to be so like vile. Like, they're just disgusting.
They are.
And, like, and but thick as well. So the arguments are always thick. Like that argument of the ticket things. Like, oh, AW's prices are cheaper, so fuck them. It's like... And then as soon as... There's nothing worse than a double standard and for it not to be met. Because if, you know, you know what I'm like. If you won't hear me saying anything bad about New Japan. But in this situation, if AW does something wrong... We're going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't watch WWE, but if it comes upon us without trying to search for it, we will talk
which
about it.
Which it always does.
It always does. Well, it's because they're the biggest company. But yeah, Monday Night Raw, did you see all that shit?
No.
Apparently it was like a fucking awful show, and they did the worst demo ever. But because of daylight... So the Observer argument was daylight savings time.
Right,
which makes sense, but
again, yeah, we're talking
200,000
yeah,
people.
I mean,
yeah, it's
as I
pathetic.
Say, I'm over it. I'm over that ratings thing. It's gonna fluctuate. It'll be up and down, but we're not talking. It's not we're not talking. It's up and down by millions. That's a talking point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, oh, WWE or AEW pisses off the fan base so much that this week only 200,000 people watch, then you'd be like,
be
holy shit, this I'd is fucking wild. Like, pissed them everyone off that much that literally everyone's turned off. And because we know the ratings are bullshit anyway, because of the whole WWE's on like the equivalent of the BBC and AEW's on cable, means bullshit. And they do have loads of sporting events, and they do move, like AEW moves times. So it's like you can't... The ratings, I couldn't give a flying shite. It's the live shows that I'm more interested in.
The ticket sales.
Yeah.
And their ticket sales have been appalling. Which is just... To me, it's just funny because it's, you know, it's like... You talk a big game, but you fucking shit. And the thing is as well, is so the last hour due to daylight savings time was the one that dropped. And apparently the main event was Rawlins against Owens. And they got beasted in the back because of the ratings, like, the day after. And it's just, like, at a live show, they got fucking wasted. It's, like, it's got nothing to do with them. It's a fucking. It's because the clocks went back, so they're not asked.
It's just insane.
The pathetic. Did we talk about the releases last week? Did we even do that?
I don't even think we didn't do a show, did we? So they happened late last week.
I mean, how arsed are you about talking about that?
I'm not arsed, because it's... And there's more to come, apparently, of course.
Of course there is, because so, they're trying to fucking sell it.
It's going to keep happening.
They're trying to sell it. That's the only reason why they're doing it. And they're not hoarding fucking talent anymore, because they're going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith Lee, can't wait to see him somewhere that I actually fucking watch. So that's the end of that. Right, so we've had a few comments on Full Gear, and we've had a question for the show as well. So let's start with that. So at... Oh, why has it gone off now? Jesus Christ. There we go. At Axel _ JMO has put a question for the pods. Do you think we'll ever see Edge in AEW?
Oh,
and how do you think it would go? I think it could be the return run we all wanted when he came back at Rumble 2020. That was before COVID. Well, yeah, it was before COVID.
Yeah, it was.
Can
I go?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I go on that?
I'm going to get a piece of bread.
So, I think Edge came back to WWE and I know he did because I watched it and we all saw it. But what I mean is that when he came back at the Rumble and it was pre-COVID... It was such a moment. It was an amazing, amazing moment. And we were kind of like a bit meh about WWE at that time. But everyone wants to see Edge back. And he got a huge... Like, the crowd pop was amazing. We obviously saw that, like, fucking WWE documentary thing where they showed the backstage thing and all that shit. The problem he's got is the same problem Jeff Hardy's got. Where... The longer you stay, the worse it gets, and the more people in AEW don't give a shit. In particular, if I'm just talking about AEW, they can go anywhere and wrestle anywhere and do gangbusters. You know, Jeff Hardy could go into Impact, and it would be great, and he'd do a great run in Impact. And I think he is quite a Impact threat. You know, obviously they've done Impact and all that shit, and you know the brothers. So, but right now. With AEW the way it is, I'm not sure Edge would make that much of an impact, for want of a better phrase. I'm not sure it would be the same as if he came out at Rumble, say, and then went away because he didn't like the booking and didn't do very much. And he obviously had, that match with Randy Orton when they were doing the backstage thing. It was fine. It was actually quite... We were entertained by it, but... I think the longer you're there now, I think the dimmer your star gets, and you start to become like, so what? And Christian joined AEW at like the perfect time for Christian, because it was before we started getting the rumblings about Punk and Brian. It was while, the stars were on the rise of Darby Allin, they're building those stars, which and Hangman. And people like that, they were popular, but, you're looking at a superstar in Hangman now. Totally made him, really. Like they've completely built him from the ground up. And because we're now used to every time WWE does releases, it's like, oh, who's going to AEW? That's been an ongoing conversation for 12 months plus, 18 months since pandemic massive releases. That's been the conversation. It's like, oh, they're going to AEW. And now, I think that whole gloss has gone. And the people who are responsible for that, two people responsible, as I say, it's Punk and Brian. It ain't getting any better than those two signings. Those two are the big signings. Jeff Hardy can show up tomorrow. Edge can show up tomorrow. And I think the crowd will lose it, the live crowd. I think they'll lose it. Doesn't translate to viewers at all. Because we've just watched Punk and we've watched Brian. It's not translated to viewers. The viewership's remained. I mean, Brian gave him a bump.
Yeah.
Punk gave him a bump. But they've gone back to how they were. You know, it's still like, you're still like kind of in that million sort of like zone if you're talking viewers. So in terms of like the business side of it and how exciting it'd be from a general point of view, I think it would be muted in comparison to had they joined a year before. Had they joined when the pandemic first started, or
yeah.
or they debuted before Brian and Punk. For me, I would like to see Jeff Hardy there. I know like that wasn't the question, but I feel like to complete the collection, because you've got one, you know, you need the other. I think Jeff would fit in really well, and I think he would come in and he'd work, because he's been a really good worker for WWE. He'd come in and work, and I don't think, and I think they could do some cool shit with those two. Edge, I don't know, I'm a bit like, it's too late. That's where I am with him. I don't think it would be as big a deal. I know that sounds really bad, but I don't know, I'm not, I feel like the ship has passed, it's gone.
So, I don't know. The Jeff thing, I completely agree with you. He needs to be there. Like Matt said, he wants his final kind of career run to be in a tag team with his brother in AEW.
Yeah.
So that's what he said. You know, Matt is very rarely wrestling these days, which is a good thing after the Sami match. So Jeff makes a lot of sense because he goes in as a mid-carder with his brother. It's just the way it goes. Edge is a tough one. Because what I'm starting to, and they never will do it in this way, but I'm kind of getting a bit meh about the ex-WWE people.
Mm.
And the thing is, right, and you've not seen this, but this is obviously from Dynamite last week, Eddie Kingston and Punk, and we'll get onto that when we go through the card.
Can I just say that I had to go out and catch my train, and we sat and watched, was it on Rampage or was it on Dynamite?
Rampage. It was
Rampage, and we were sitting watching it, and I literally had a train to catch.
Yeah, and you had to
go. I had to go and get ready for my train
yeah.
at the one part of the show I wanted to watch, and I'm really annoyed by it because I really wanted to see it.
Well, after this, we'll watch it.
They're my two favourite wrestlers, really.
Yeah. After this, we'll watch it because it's worth it. Probably one of the most uncomfortably fantastic promos you could ever see.
Mm.
And that's great because Punk knows what he's doing there. He's trying to, you know, get a big time match going for Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston has said, you know, the biggest match of his career was Moxley for the title. Which is fair enough. You know, you're trying to protect the title. But it's not. It's this one. And everybody gives a shit about this one. Nobody thought he could have beaten Moxley in the title match. Nobody really that I've seen thinks he's going to win on Saturday. However,
I think he will.
However, I don't think.
Do you not think he will? No. I do.
I think he should win, but I don't think he will win.
Yeah, I suppose.
But the thing that makes me think, and we're going into later on, but so I'll cut this short when we talk about it, but. Yeah, let me go back. We'll talk about that.
Okay,
in a minute.
Okay.
So for me now is the ex WWE nods are starting to annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one like before. I think I might have woken up for a minute or something like that. But there was one on Dynamite last night where Cole brought in Bobby Fish, and was like, "This guy's cool. He's gonna beat up Jungle Boy on Friday." And they was kind of like nodding to each other, and the book said, you know, what isn't, or something about Undisputed. And it's like, okay, I've had enough of that. I'm out of that. I don't need you to call back to that. I don't find it funny anymore.
Mm.
I find it funny on Being the Elite when they're being dickheads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't find it funny on the Dynamite show. Because I don't have anything to do with it.
Mm.
I don't want anything to do with it. So I don't want to hear about it. And the problem with signing all these ex-WWE people is the show starts to look like a WWE show. And I know we're always saying, like, you know, this is what Daniel Bryan's been capable of. Unbelievable match with Kenny Omega. Unbelievable match with fucking Eddie Kingston. Like, this is the Daniel Bryan that we all want to see. And it's a different Daniel Bryan. The thing is like when you start signing like your edges and you know, and you're going through them all, is they're not that high caliber of a wrestler.
Mm.
It's a psychology thing. And Christian Cage puts on fantastic matches. Like, I really enjoy Christian Cage's work, but he isn't a Daniel Bryan. So he doesn't fit in there. He only just fit in when he was the surprise signing. Mm. But I don't think Christian Cage fits in. Where Christian Cage fits in is basically what they're doing with him, which is always a great thing with AEW, is the people are always doing what they should be doing at that particular time.
Mm.
So Punk should be going against Eddie Kingston right now and having a huge match. That's a massive deal for AEW.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan should be in the final of the tournament. You know, Christian Cage should be in a six-man with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus against the Super Click, which is, again, a huge match. He's not got a fucking kickoff show spot, you know. But Christian's not going to have that caliber of match that I really enjoy. He's going to have a good match, and he's a great addition. But the fact that Christian Cage is there, to me, I like that Christian Cage is there. Because he didn't have to be there.
Mm-mm.
But he decided to go before the onslaught came. And he's talked about how great it is and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they're all working like one day a week and getting paid for it. And, you know, I'm sure they're all really happy. And the quality and the work that they're putting out there is coming out. But I do want them to stop signing like loads of new people. I'd rather Tony Khan go and get a few from ROH. Like your Tony Deppins and, you know, like your Banditos, Roosh. I mean, Roosh is out injured for fucking ages. I mean, Danhausen versus Orange Cassidy, the video I saw of that is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And I know he's broke his leg as well, and hopefully he'll be all right.
Oh, terrible timing.
As soon as he gets released, like, he breaks his leg.
And
they're
allowed to work elsewhere. Yeah. Like, but, I mean, it might help because they're all going to be out and about, so...
Well, Danhausen's been getting booked as like the celebrity GM on shows. Okay. So he'll come out in his wheelchair and be the GM. So at least he's getting booked and he's getting paid. Yeah, yeah. And obviously, like, loads of places like Wrestling Observer and Pro Wrestling Tees did a massive thing about like 10% off Danhausen shit. Because he sells them so much merch.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, his main check every month is coming from Pro Wrestling Tees because he sells so much shit. Like, the amount of t-shirts he's got is like a fucking WWE's wet dream. Mm. He's got about 40 on there.
Jesus.
Which is just completely mad. But...
have we got any cans?
Go for it, yeah.
I'm going to grab a drink.
Would Edge be great in AEW? Yeah, of course he would. It would be a great thing and it'd be a great story. But I don't want to see him, like, go against... Because the easy booking, which AEW would never do, but the easy booking is... it's bring him in, bring Jeff Hardy in, and you've got Edge and Christian versus the Hardys one last time. I don't want to see that because they're all past that. And I don't want Edge to go into the title picture. And I don't want Edge to have a feud with Christian. So what is there for him to do? Well, he could come in and kind of mentor some of the young wrestlers. So, yeah, but how many people have they got doing that? So really, if I was being honest... Axel, I'd say I think we will see Edge in AEW, but I don't want to see him in AEW because I'm sick of these WWE guys turning up and like taking people's spots. Because the thing is, you know, the signings they're making, they're obviously like really, you know, it's based on like whoever's in the company. So Adam Cole, fantastic signing. He's instantly gone in there and instantly looks like an AEW guy. And he debuted on the last pay-per-view. And it's just like, how has he only been there a few months? That makes no sense. He looks like he's been there forever. It looks like he was an original member of the the Elite. Which, you know, I mean the AEW Elite.
But, like, that has literally been a perfect signing.
Yeah. Well, Cole's the fucking best. He just is. He's the fucking best. He will be AEW champion at some point because he's too fucking good.
Yeah, he's great.
He's far too good at everything he does. Everything. But, I think the Edge return at the Rumble was amazing. But they've botched him so badly. Like, they botch everybody. You know, he was on track to be the biggest super face of that year.
Mm.
You know, coming back from injury, And they fucked it. They fucked it by turning him into a whiny bitch. And then because they turned him into a whiny bitch, he didn't get the big pops that he was getting when he first started coming back. So then they got scared and they turned him heel. You know, whatever AEW would do with Edge would be riot. You know it would be. But it's just whether or not you want to see it.
Mm.
And that's the thing that we kind of spoke about a couple of shows ago, of the getting away from, like, the business side of talking about wrestling, because we're just fans. And, you know, talking about the business side of it is fun and it's great to think about, but I would rather put my effort into talking about what I want to see. And what I want to see is what I want to see, and I don't give a fuck if no one else wants to see that.
But don't you think, though, that we have to, like... We were obviously the only wrestling promotion we followed was WWE, like at a point. And, you know, we knew about, you know, obviously we were like, we knew about New Japan and we knew about ROH and, you know, Impact to some extent, but we didn't follow them. I don't think our trajectory away from WWE is much different from a lot of fans. I think quite a lot of fans have done the same journey, if you will, that as we have.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened is because we, like, at the time when, you know, Punk and Brian and, well, before, a lot before that, because that was only a couple of months ago, but like a year ago when we started doing the podcast again, so like round about that time, and we were like, oh, you know, thank God WWE's on because it's great to have this escape.
Mm.
From that to that is, it's poles apart. We've completely changed. But so have a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're not the only ones who will be feeling this. And as you start to, like, move away from WWE and accept that it is what it is,
yeah,
and it's, you know, like a fucking entertainment show, it's over there, it's doing its own thing. Yeah, it's rubbish, and it's an entertainment show that is for a certain type of person.
A non-wrestling fan.
Yeah, but like as the time has gone by, and we've, you know, watched more, and everyone else has watched more AEW and all of that stuff, and maybe New Japan and all that jazz, I feel like we're all in the same boat where the collective now sees the longer you stay at WWE, the less stock goes. So at first, yeah, it was like, we want all these people from WWE to make AEW great. And we've had those conversations. Like, they need those people. Especially me, when I was talking about the women's division, they need those people to make AEW great. They need to sign, have a big sign-in.
Yeah.
And all it took was Ruby Riott. And I'm done now.
Yeah.
I'm totally done. And obviously, would I, you know, like, freak out if Charlotte was there? Yeah. But mainly as a big sort of middle finger to WWE.
Yeah.
And because she can wrestle, she's like a really safe pair of hands in the ring. And she's, you know, proficient and can do a job. Yeah. And is, you know, like, is the whole package of a wrestler. Everything you could ever hope a women's wrestler to be.
Yeah.
But the more time goes by and the more we're all continuing to keep moving away from them, the more pathetic they become. And the thing I can liken it to is like when, how I am with WWE now, is when, this sounds really bad, but when a soap star wants to become a Hollywood actor and they go into Hollywood and you're like,
what?
But you're so small fry, you're never going to make it in Hollywood. You know, like Sally from Coronation Street. You know, like, a daughter's a big fucking Hollywood star, but she's not.
Who's a daughter?
Daughter was the lead in Bridgerton. Fucking huge, huge. Well, it was before Squid Game. It was the highest view.
Oh yeah, I remember thing. Saying.
Yeah. But
so what you're basically saying is you're likening Edge to Sally Webster.
Yes, I think I am. I think I am. I am liking. But that's I'm how joking. I'm now. That I've completely gravitated away from thinking WWE adds to it to now feeling like they take away from it, and I think that's become a natural thing. Because their own stars are coming up. They've got a jam-packed roster.
Yeah.
To me, it was all over at Daniel Bryan and CM Punk for signings. Like, it finished at that point. The most exciting signing still remains Sting when he came out. It was a surprise. It was mint. Like, I loved it. And now it's they're done. But that's me. I've moved away, and I think a lot of people have moved so far away from them that now you do look at them all, even people like Kevin Owens and stuff. You look at them all and go, the longer you're there, the worse it gets, and the less you add.
Yeah.
So the longer you're in WWE, AEW has moved on so much, even in the last 12 months, that you're now. You'll get the disparity is just too great that you don't fit now, and I think a lot of them will be sweating who are trying to ride out their contracts hoping to get signed by AEW. I think they won't.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who see for me there isn't one person in WWE now that I would be like, oh, you've got to get him, you've got to get her, you've got to get him. I just none of them. Like, if Charlotte turned up, it'd be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do they need it? No, I don't think they do need it. Like, because the thing is like, you know, if CM Punk can't get you an extra fucking 200,000 viewers a week, which arguably maybe he has, and there was all that, you know, amazing shit when he first came back, nobody's gonna. So what are you trying to do? Are you trying to turn it into a place where WWE, let's be honest, WWE rejects go to actually prove how good they are? Or are you going to have it as a company where the people that you're signing and you're developing are your own people? And they do that really well.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why Darby and MJF's going to be a great match. And you know, there's AEW people up and down the card. You know, the main event is AEW people. But there's got to be a time when he needs to put the checkbook away. And, like, you know, if Edge, you know, suddenly became available, would I do anything with him? Yeah, I'd probably do something with him, but I wouldn't sign him to a contract. I'd say, how about coming in and doing a month?
Mm.
And then you've got that constant revolving door of every month there's somebody like an Edge who comes in and gets a big pop and then gets a cheer and then goes away again. Because the thing is like, for him to get the run that we all wanted, to quote Axel, is he'd have to be in the main event picture. And I don't want to see Edge in a main event picture in AEW.
He can't be. Like,
well, he could be, and he'd do a very good job.
Yeah,
and he would have really, really good matches. The problem is do I want to see him in that spot? No, I don't want to see him in that spot. There's nobody I want to see in that spot. If they want to sign a Kevin Owens and turn him back to Steen, if they want to sign, you know, all the members of the Undisputed Era, which it looks like they're going to be doing, and then Cole's going to break off and do that in AEW, I don't want it because I've seen it. I want to see something new, and I know you can't see something new with
wrestling.
You shouldn't
copy a faction that was made in WWE.
Well, that's it. That seems to be the way they're going. Is they want to break Adam Cole away? Fish will be around. Kyle O'Reilly is literally counting the days down because he's doing jobs to fucking all sorts of people. And Roderick Strong apparently is not having a great time. So that at some point will probably happen. But the problem with that is I've seen it. And I know wrestling's really hard to show me something new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your own roster of people. And if you're just bringing in people just to do the WWE shtick or... Because the thing is Daniel Bryan was a big time wrestler without WWE as far as technical ability. He was having 5-star matches, he was at ROH, he was like close to wrestler of the year and all that kind of shit. I don't think he had a 5-star before the last one, but I can't remember, I'm too tired. So he makes sense. CM Punk makes sense because he's got the ROH links and all that kind of stuff. Those people make sense. Owens, Steen makes sense, Zayn makes sense, but doesn't necessarily mean you have to pull the trigger on it. Because if for somebody like Owens, because he's such a big star, he has to come in a decent role, so somebody has to go to Dark and Elevation. You know, I already don't see enough John Silver on Dynamite and Rampage because of that. I know he's been on it a couple of times recently, but there's loads of people like a Shawn Spears who has to take a step back. You know, all these people have to take steps back. It's like, no, I don't want to see Kevin Owens doing the Kevin Owens thing in AEW. I don't want to see Bray Wyatt in AEW because he takes a spot from somebody who I'm actually really enjoying at the moment.
Yeah.
The show's great as it is. from my point of view, the only thing that would make it better is I would literally take that fucking $2 million that you're going to throw at Edge and just give it to New Japan and say, let us do a super show. Let us do, you know, like you did at Madison Square Garden with ROH. Let us have a couple of people, you know, even if Okada's like on a card, or Tanahashi's on a card, or Ibushi's on a card, where they're going against fucking five, or, you know, somebody from the hybrid two, and just destroy them. That's good enough for me. I'm not asked about them being in a program with somebody. They can be, if they want to be, but then you're getting into the politics of who wins and who loses, and I'm not interested in those politics. So whatever money you're going to give Edge, give to fucking New Japan and say, you know, if you want to send Okada over for a couple of weeks, we'll pay him a load of money. This is just an upfront of thank you for working with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Okada can be... You can put New Japan matches on AEW shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be awesome for me. Like, say if they had, like, a super show, or even if it's not a super show, but it's like, you know, Double or Nothing. You've got the IWGP heavyweight title match on a AEW pay-per-view. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
all the time,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like with Suzuki coming in and all that kind of stuff. That's the sort of shit that I want to see. Treat them like a young lion on excursion where they can't be pinned and they can't be, you know, if they're going to get in there with AEW people.
Yeah, the but team, otherwise you can host their matches. Yeah.
And if, you know, the best friends are now in chaos, there's no reason why you can't do a thing of Matt Hardy and the Hardy Factory office or whatever it is versus Chaos with Okada in the team, and Matt Hardy takes the pin to the Rainmaker. You know, that perfect. That's I want to see Okada in a spot on an AEW show where he's getting lauded as the fucking one, if not the best wrestler in the world.
Mm.
So if Tanahashi's got the US belt, because I think he's on this Battle for the Valley show, he can come in and do a 6-man tag against fucking, you know, Hybrid 2 and Matt Hardy, and get, I don't know, I keep picking on Matt Hardy to do jobs, but they are a jobber team, and that's the funny thing. You know, why couldn't you have, yeah, go for it. I mean, imagine like a New Japan like team against the Elite on a Dynamite, just when they're over touring. It's like, oh, it's Okada, Tanahashi, and well, if you're gonna dream book it, Okada, Tanahashi, and Ibushi, or Shingo, you know, take any one of them out and put Shingo in against the Elite. I mean, come on. Like, I know based on the results of the poll, no one knows who the fuck I'm talking about here. But that's what... I know that's a very long-winded answer, Axel, but that's kind of what I want to see. I want to see that shit where... It's weird, isn't it? Because I kind of... What I'm kind of looking for now is that big crossover show. Is that big super show. That's what I want to see. Like, what we've been talking about for, like, the past year... of the WrestleMania-esque stadium show where every company's involved with it other than WWE. That's kind of where I want them to go with it, because it's a cool thing to do. And I feel like AEW does a lot of things just because they're cool to do and not because necessarily they'll bring in the most viewers or the most money, which can be commended. And in the long term, they will get praise for that. But that's what I want to see. What I don't want to see is a parade of WWE releases. I feel like, you know, when we were talking a couple of months ago of like, oh, are they now full? And Khan came out and said, you know, when's a wrestling roster full? I feel like they are full now.
Yeah, but don't you think though, like, again, it's that WWE PTSD that we've all got where we're obsessed with people getting signed and that they're owned by that company. And we're only ever satisfied when they're signed and they're there. Like, it's really... it's definitely a WWE thing. Definitely. Because the only other time you talk about signings is when you're talking about sport and stuff. And you sign a great... 40%. Oh, Miss Bowes. Excuse me. The only other time you talk about signings is when you talk about sport. If you take, like, football, for example, anyone who's followed football especially at your top levels, and in fact, no, more so if you follow a team that is in the lower leagues, you know you cannot get attached to any of those players because they're not lifers. They're going to move on to other clubs. Like, even I remember being at the Charity Shield with my dad, watching United get beat 3-0 by Arsenal, absolutely fucking trounced when I was 14 or whatever the fuck, back in the 90s, and knowing that David Beckham was not going to be with United forever. Knowing that, it's like, why is everyone so attached to some of these players? They're not going to be here forever. They get signed to other teams.
Yeah.
And you sort of get used to that in sport. You know, it happens in basketball all the time. You know, it's, fuck me, when we were watching Celtics originally, when we went over there and we watched them get beat every fucking game. And, like, then the next time we saw them, those players that we loved had all gone.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, that's just how it goes in sport. You don't get attached to people. They get signed and you get excited they're signed, but you know that they're out the door in 2-3 years time. If they're dead good and someone else comes along with a better offer, they're out the door. But for some reason, because of WWE, and they keep them locked in those crazy contracts where back in the, you know, and then they were the only company because they put everyone else out of business. There was no real competitor. So if you signed to WWE, you were there for life. You'd reach the pinnacle, again, for want of a better word. You'd reach the top and you were signed and you were there forever. Once you're in WWE, you're there forever. And if you get let go, you're just not good enough. And now we're all watching AEW and we're like, when someone gets released from WWE, we're like obsessed with, like, you must sign them, you must sign them. It's like, no. AEW doesn't have to sign. When you talk about signing contracts, they don't have to sign everyone and anyone. That doesn't mean that they can't be on AEW. You know, like Bray Wyatt, for example, you know, like, he is a free agent now, as of this week, I believe. And God knows where he's going to be. But he could be on AEW, but he doesn't have to be a signed wrestler to AEW. I think we all need to get out of that WWE headspace where a company needs to own them. They don't have to own...
Well, AEW doesn't own them anyway.
Well, like, yeah.
The only thing in the AEW contracts are they can't work with WWE.
Yeah, which is...
fair enough. Yeah. Because no WWE wrestler can work with them.
Mm.
So that's absolutely fine. So even if they do sign a contract to AEW or to Impact or to... Well, not ROH anymore...
Well, the deal with Impact's over, isn't it now?
No,
I thought it'd come to an end.
No, it's not a deal. Like this thing that's pissing me off about people as well. Like, say, like fucking Bully Ray and shit saying that the AEW Impact experiment didn't work and all this kind of stuff. It's like, motherfucker. Like, there was so much buzz around Impact for the last like 6 months. Like, it doesn't matter if people didn't watch it. People bought those pay-per-views. Highest pay-per-view buys, like, since they changed from TNA. So, like, shut the fuck up.
It's all about, like, sorry to jump in, but, like, it doesn't matter if you're signed. Every other wrestling company, apart from WWE, to my knowledge, allows their wrestlers to go elsewhere. Pretty much all of them do. ROH... does, I believe, or did, whatever. You know, like, New Japan, they have, like, deals with other, like, was it Rev Pro or whatever the fuck in the UK?
Yeah, and they've got the Rev Pro for so the they send people, and stuff, yeah.
It's we're all still really concerned about the future of all these people, but yet we don't have to be, they don't have to go into some golden handcuffs deal like we're so used to happening. It can be fluid. You know, Bray Wyatt can be a free agent for the next fucking 10 years if he wants to. And that will suit him fine. He'll earn loads of money. He'll get booked for certain shows. It'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
But that side of it isn't the issue. The issue is whether you want to see him in AEW. And I don't want to see Bray Wyatt in AEW now. Because it's too much. Like, if you're taking a spot away from somebody else. And, you know, the Fiend and all that kind of stuff, fantastic character actor, and from all sense and purposes, that he's doing films, Bray. So that's what his next project is a film. I don't want to see him AEW, because it then becomes a WWE show. Like, if fucking Edge comes in and then you don't see Darby Allin again for 3 months, that's not a good thing. You know, if someone comes in and takes another spot away from somebody else, like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk have, it's not a good thing because I'm not asked about it. The thing is with Brian and Punk is they've done so well, as in, for my opinion, like maybe not Punk from the wrestling side, but from the talking side, and this Eddie Kingston sort of 2 week rivalry,
perfect,
has completely turned it around for me because I didn't give a shit. Like when you come in and he's going against Darby Allin, who's like a face, it's like what
you had to get to. It was either going to be him or MJF for me. It was either going to be Kingston or MJF to make Punk.
Punk's going heel.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that's winding me up, is everybody thinking Punk's not going to go heel. He is, because Punk is a heel. Mm. And he's just waiting for the time when they can pull the trigger on him being a heel. Because they've got Daniel Bryan, Bryan's been wrestling heely. So none of them are there. They don't give a fuck.
Like, doesn't matter, though,
they'll just
it?
Go back and forth. They're not there for, you know, they know the heels in AEW, their merchandise sales don't get affected because you've not got a load of people with shit in their pants buying the t-shirt. But yeah, long story short, Axel, no, I don't want to see.
It's a long answer, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Jesus,
I don't want to see Edge in AEW, and the reason why is because I'm getting a bit tired of this, you know, because literally over the last 3 months, and this is the people outside of who's been released, everybody's been linked with AEW bar Roman Reigns. You know, and literally, you can only, like, somebody put a really funny thing up of, like, when WWE 2K22 finally comes out, this is going to be the roster. And it's just, like, an empty screen apart from Cena and Roman Reigns.
That's so funny.
Like, and there's nobody else there. But AEW can't take them. And if AEW does take them, they become NXT 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
But not really, because that's even worse. But, like, I don't want to see it. I want to see AEW. I don't want to see these fucking WWE has-beens. And that's really hard. It's really hard thing to say because Edge is great. But unfortunately, he can't go. Because he's had fucking shitloads of injuries. He's not putting on a match with Kenny Omega. Like, that should be the gold standard. Is could you put on, physically, could you put on a match with Kenny Omega like Daniel Bryan did? Yes or no? If the answer is no, you ain't good enough. I don't give a fuck if you just turn up on Dark. You ain't good enough. Five had a fantastic match with Omega. You know, that should be the benchmark. Can you come in and have an amazing match with Kenny Omega without him fucking carrying you the whole way? If it's no, then it's a no. And they've not got any space. Like, Edge would ask for a fuckload of money. And what I would do with that amount of money, I would put it into, like, other people's contracts. I'd put it into other people's contracts, or I would go out and try and find some new talent.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some new AEW talent. Like, I want them desperately to get away from this parade of signing ex-WWE people, because I just don't care.
Same.
Like, Keith Lee, when he was NXT and North American champion, I was like, this guy is going to be fucking WWE champion. He's exactly what Vince wants. And they even fucked him up. You know, Karrion Kross, do you want to see him in AEW? No. Absolutely fucking not.
He needs to go back to Impact.
Get back to fucking Impact.
He really does. Him and his missus, what's she called? Sorry, I've forgotten her name. Scarlett. Him and Scarlett, I don't even know if that was a name. Probably not. They had different names maybe, and I have no idea.
I don't think so.
Fuck off.
I think they had the same
names.
Oh,
did they?
Yeah.
But, like, obviously they were doing great shit, hence why WWE signed him. Go back. You know, like, that fucking Valkyrie has been let go. She should go back if they'll have her and they can afford her. You know, I know it's very embarrassing to go back with your tail between your legs, and I'm sure that first locker room's tough, but you were doing gangbusters there to the point where WWE noticed you and wanted you. Fucking go back to the place where you were doing a great job, because you can't, there is no pinnacle anymore. There is no hot spot to go as a wrestler. WWE is no longer a dream. AEW might turn out to be a dream that's really hard to get into at some point. You know, now the signings are all, like, there and all that shit. You know, AEW, I remember listening to the Iconics podcast, the Off the Chops one, when they were talking about trying to get booked as wrestlers. And they said, and it was, I thought they were shooing to get signed by AEW at the time. I really did. And they sort of did a throwaway comment, and I've probably said it before, but I was like, oh, they're not getting signed by AEW. because they said, oh, WWE's this, AEW's really into growing their own female talent. And I thought, oh, that means AEW doesn't want them. So it's like, they, do you know what I mean? It's like...
But the right to say no to them. Yeah. Because they are very entertaining, but they're not high-quality wrestlers. They're good wrestlers, but they're not high-quality. So what if the... Because the thing is, the Iconics have gone into Impact, and they're immediately the Knockouts Tag Team Champions.
Mm.
That's what you have to do with ex-WWE people. They have to go in at a certain level. Like, you couldn't assign the Iconics and had them, like, jobbing on Dark for a month before they come up to Dynamite.
Yeah, you've got to parade them. You've got to put them on a big show, introduce them, which then means that you've got to do something with them.
Yeah. And the whole Ruby Soho signing is the perfect example of that. Somebody who is a very good wrestler and fits the AEW mould. The Iconics, unfortunately, don't fit the AEW mode because they're too busy shaking their asses while they walk down the ramp. And I'm not interested. They're great, like, and they're very funny. But we're gonna start having to be harsh about this because I love this show, and I don't want it to change. And like the mindset, and maybe it's because I'm fucking knackered why I'm going this far. But the mindset of 3-4 months ago of, oh yeah, get the Iconics in, or why not? Mm. Oh yeah, Big Show, Mark Henry. Big Show, Mark Henry are doing exactly what they need to do, and that's behind the stage shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in seeing a Big Show match ever again, because it was a fucking car crash. And he did do a match on Dark, you know, fair play to him. But I want to see things that are going to be interesting. And a 10-minute segment of the iconic screeching voices. The fact that WWE released them is insane. Because they are so WWE, it's painful.
Yeah.
You know, you can shake your ass all you want. Shake your ass all you fucking want. Well, yeah, if they just want 23-year-olds. But, like, shake your ass, fucking do a headlock takedown. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. You're the new tag team champions. Fine. But I don't want to see him on AEW because it will lesser the show as far as my enjoyment of him. It'll boost it for a couple of weeks, and then after that they'll be doing, because the thing is there's no like women tag team, so they'll just be constantly going against two random women that have been put together, and it just doesn't make any sense to, which is probably why they didn't get signed, because it doesn't make any sense because they don't have a women's tag team like division. They had the tag team tournament and then dropped that. Because it was like, well, what's the fucking point? So that's why the TBS title's been made instead of a women's tag team titles. But, yeah, it just fucking, you know, just give me some new people.
Mm-hmm.
Or give me some people from New Japan.
Yeah, like, or just I'm not some interested people who in, are like, yeah. the, you know, when NXT were signing those, like, some of the indie stars that we'd never heard of, who were great. Like, let's bring in some, like, famous indie stars. Like, I have to say, and I know this sounds like... I actually really like that Warhorse guy.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought, I like him, because I don't know him. He's come in with a gimmick that is quite clearly something he's honed over a very long time. It's like a Dan... Yeah, absolutely. It's like a Danhausen type person. It's like I'd rather see people like that get signed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know their full capacity yet. I've not seen them peak. Whereas when you're in WWE, I've seen you peak.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen the best it's ever going to be. Not the best, obviously, because you can do your own promos and, you know, you can argue
I
that.
I know what you mean, though.
But you know what I mean? You've gone to the top.
Yeah.
I don't need you to sort of like, inverted commas, come down and do the same shit. I want to see someone reach their peak of, you know, like they've not been on TV before, but they've been absolutely smashing it on the indies.
Who's the perfect example of that?
Eddie Kingston is my perfect example.
Eddie Kingston is exactly the perfect example, but that's not the one I was thinking of. The one I was thinking of was Thunder Rosa. That is the signings you need to start making.
Absolutely, because these people are already complete veterans. They're comfortable as fuck. They can wrestle so fucking like water. It's so easy for them. All they have to probably learn is the TV stuff, which will be instantaneous. They can fucking do
there's
it.
There's the hard
easy.
Camp.
Easy Sorry. Peasy. Done. And doing promos, which they'll have been cutting in the indies every fucking night.
Yeah.
That's why Moxley was so good at promos. Like, because he was cutting them every night on the indies. He was, you know, and he made promos a thing for him. So it's like, and Eddie Kingston is another one. It's
coming
where,
from the book.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the book actually. But like, I would much rather see really established indie wrestlers who are superstars, because there was nothing more exciting than Eddie Kingston.
I mean, that was a whirlwind.
Like, nothing.
Was
when he
first came out,
on.
I was like, who the fuck's this guy with a mic? And he was just perfect with a mic
straight
away. Yeah,
and he came on with no music and just started talking. Yeah. And that's like in, he did a that big article in that sports magazine. And I read it all and I loved it. I thought it was such a great article. And it was written by him. In his words, it wasn't like someone interviewing him. He kind of like start to finish, it's his voice. And, you know, talking about like saying to Cody Rhodes and people saying like, what music do you want? And it's like, I don't want any music. I'm not on your roster. Why would I have music?
Such a great line.
Like, I'm not on, so I'll just talk. And it's like, cool, yeah, come and talk. And, you know, he put Cody Rhodes over and it's saying, Cody's like proper into it, saying, yeah, fucking hell, like, let's do it. And Cody was really accommodating.
Yeah, I think he would be.
Of course, of course. You know, I'm sure he's a good guy. But like, but it's Eddie Kingston came in and was thrilling. Like, that is so much more exciting, seeing somebody like that come in, than seeing an ex-star who you've seen everything they've got to offer, pretty much. Maybe they got held back a little bit wrestling style-wise. Yeah. Maybe they got held back a little bit promo-wise, but I've seen them. I've seen them for fucking years.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't show me anything. And that was the intriguing thing about Punk, because he'd been gone for 7 years, and it's like, and I never had the thing of, can he still go? Because I'm not ageist. But it's like, it was a case of, I remember he left at his fucking peak, and he can talk and he can wrestle and he's a safe pair of hands. And it's the same thing with Bryan Danielson. Like, he can do more wrestling wise. And he isn't about the promos, and he isn't about the person who's going to come to the ring with a mic with no music. He's just going to put on a fucking clinic.
Absolutely.
And enjoy, look like he's having a fucking fantastic time, which also makes a massive, massive difference. Not someone who looks laboured, like they're practicing and trying. It's like someone who just can do it in their sleep. So, I would much rather see the Eddie Kingstons, the Thunder Rosas, and those shocking people who you're like, who the fuck is this person? Yeah. How exciting. How fucking exciting. They've not just been languishing on the indie scene, because the indie scene's a big deal, but they have been languishing on the indie scene, and now they're on national television. And that's this moment here is changing their life, whereas it's not changing the lives of anyone.
Edge doesn't need a couple of million from Tony Khan.
He really doesn't, and neither did Brian or Punk, but hey, they're
but
great.
But at least they've gone in and they're doing what they do best.
Yeah.
And one's talking and the other one's wrestling.
Yes, perfect.
And that's perfect. And they do fit in, so they do seem like AEW wrestlers to
me. And Cole is doing the same thing. Like, Cole is one of those, he's like a sleeper superstar. You know, he's a sleeper at the moment, but you know he's going to, like you said, you know he's going to be the star at some point. And he's never not, your eyes never not on him when he's there. Like, you're always looking at him, and you're always, he's, you know, he's in a heel faction.
Yeah.
And everyone's just cheering him, and everyone's doing the bebe thing. No one's booing.
No.
It's like, that's fine. But if you're going to build stars that are going to be super faces, I think it's really difficult to build a face that's come from WWE that isn't just getting a nostalgia pop.
Yeah.
To get an actual face pop where everyone's buzzing for him, like Hangman, like Jungle Boy, you know, like Thunder Rosa, like Britt Baker. They get proper face pops. And I know fucking Britt's a heel, but it's like they get like an actual genuine, like, go
and it's
kind
because,
of thing.
So there's two things really that you can do in that situation. It's either somebody who's never really had a chance, like a Ruby Soho, or somebody completely new. So if they sign, I mean, Keith Lee is a good example of that. But he did have that NXT run,
yes,
where he was getting everything. So the fact that he didn't get anything on the main roster and he's had to pay for all his cardiac bills himself, which is just fucking absolutely...
Oh my God, Miss Bowes!
I mean, the fact that Keith Lee's had to pay for his own medical shit is pathetic. They are a pathetic company. Deserve not to be a thing.
The thing with Keith Lee is, he's not just... If you compare him to Ruby, Ruby was slept on and never got to really do anything. Keith Lee got publicly humiliated by the fact they kept trying to reinvent him and trying to... And they almost humiliated Black.
Yeah.
They almost... Because they were trying to bring him back.
But he's too good for that.
Yeah. But like... But Keith Lee's been humiliated.
Yeah, yeah.
With the whole Bearcat thing and
the fact that they wanted him to not talk the way he talks, even though it's great. When he talks like really regally. You know, it's like they wanted him to stop doing that and be a badass. It's like, if you're looking at Keith Lee, that whole thing with Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar when they went face to face at that Royal Rumble and the place lost it.
Yeah, it's a fucking incredible.
And they don't, half of the people in that building didn't know who the fuck they were. It didn't know who the fuck he was. And he still got that reaction.
Mm.
So Keith Lee is one of the ones that I'm the most interested in. But I'm still not that arsed.
Someone did a really funny tweet about Keith Lee coming to AEW. I don't know if you saw it. Where they said, Keith Lee signs to AEW, being the elite. He passes Adam Cole. And Adam Cole goes, hey, do you need a manager? And they both just go, they both do a knowing wink to each other. Yeah. And it's like... But that's the reality of what they were looking at in WWE. Adam Cole was going to be Keith Lee's manager.
They were
going to
change his name, cut his hair.
I mean, please! I mean, it's...
But that's why they're shit.
Yeah, they are shit. They're terrible. Really terrible.
I'm done with WWE talk.
Cool.
I can't be asked anymore.
I'm going to get top up. What's the next on your list? Because I want to talk about the Moxley book as well.
Well, you should go... I mean, you should go for that next, because the only thing I've got left is Full Gear. So I've got a few tweets about that. Yeah? No, not at all. Go for it.
Hang on, let me get me a drink.
And then we'll get into Full Gear. I've got a full match card, or, you know, unless they change it.
Oh, crikey. How exciting. When are we going to watch that? Sunday?
I don't know. I've got too much work to do. I can't see me watching it this weekend. I mean, the idea was... to maybe have a sleep on Saturday, stay up and watch it, and then go straight to golf because my dad picks me up daft early. But I can't. I have to work, unfortunately. So I think maybe Tuesday, Wednesday maybe.
We'll see. So the Moxley book, anyone who has the Moxley book, congratulations. I bought it the day it came out because I was a bit intrigued by it. And I listened to the Moxley interview with Jericho, where he discussed the whole, if he was going to write a book, he was going to do it in his own words with as little intervention by editors as possible, because he was saying things like, oh, I hate reading a wrestler's book where they go, and then I joined WWE. WWE was founded in blah de blah by Vince McMahon. And you know it's been added in because no one speaks like that. Yeah. And anyone who's reading the book, in his words, was like, everyone who's reading the book knows what WWE is. We don't need to give a background. So I was like very passionate about essentially like it being me just talking and not giving any context, because the people reading it, it's going to be 99.9% of wrestling fans.
Yeah.
They don't need any background. They don't need me to explain who Seth Rollins is. I just can say Seth.
Yeah.
And all that shit. So... And it was done by like a bit of an indie publisher. You can tell.
Yeah.
Like it is all over the place.
Yeah.
And you do, if you weren't a wrestling fan, I think you would find it a bit difficult. And again, on the podcast, he said, I wanted it to be like if you were in a bar one night and you came across a load of wrestlers and you just ended up hanging out with them.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like having colour in matches and all that stuff, you wouldn't really know what they were talking about, but you'd start to understand it pretty quick.
Yeah.
You'd start to get the gist of what they were talking about. And I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the book. I'm not finished yet. I'm about like 60% through with it. But, you know, like he was talking about, in particular, death matches.
Right.
So, you know, like, I can't remember the company.
GCW.
I think it was GCW, yeah. Talking about like a death match night where he had his first one, and it sounded brutal as fuck. And because he used to come out and stab people in the cheek with a fork.
That was his thing.
That was his thing, yeah. And they said something about doing like a dinner match where like he came out with a knife and fork, and some fan had like made a cake that was just made of thumbtacks, and they had a table set out in the middle of the ring, and it was like a fucking dinner. But he talks about one, and I think it was Nick Gage, where he did his Moxley did his first one, and he like left and like, you know, fucking got into different clothes and was like, I'm gonna enjoy the rest of it. And then I think Gage had a really bad accident in one of the matches,
right?
And someone just came up to him and went, get in the ring and finish the match with this person. So he was like, oh fuck. So we had to jump in the ring, finish it,
right?
And then he came back, and I'm sure it was Gage, but I'm really sorry if I've got the wrong person, was his white top was just red in the back, and he'd severed his veins in his armpit.
Well, Gage nearly fucking died on one game.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, on one game. One thing, like he nearly died, and they were like, I think he was like flatlining in the back or something.
This is the one. So like he was bleeding out because he severed his fucking veins in his armpit.
Jesus.
And they couldn't get an ambulance there because this fucking was going on in the middle of nowhere. Helicopter ambulance.
Right.
And he like died in the helicopter for like fucking 4 minutes But I highlighted a passage, and I know we're done with WWE, but I just wanted to
Go for it.
Talk about his he talked about Seth Rollins and him in FCW. And hang on. So it says, wait there. I liked this actually. In December of 2011, to throw us a bone, Johnny Ace sent Seth and I up on some house show loops. I would go first. In Fort Myers, Florida, I think it's Fort Myers, it says FT. In Fort Myers, Florida, on my first night, I worked with a pre-Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan, and we tore it up. What I remember most was sitting in the locker room beforehand, and Brian coming up to me, his head on a swivel, looking around to make sure we were alone. He told me in almost a whisper, don't ask anybody for advice. Reason being, if you did, you were given stupid or bad advice, and everyone would be watching the next time to make sure you did what you were advised to do. If you didn't follow it, you would get heat. I heeded Brian's words. Most young guys would approach the top guys and say things like, did you see my match, sir? Anything I can work on? That's just not my style. No good could come of that. That small conversation with Brian gave me better insight into the Machiavellian shit that went on up there. And he talks about being someone sort of taking the piss out of one of his matches. I was not particularly well liked either, not by a long shot, because he says Seth Rollins wasn't well liked.
Right.
People said he had an ego. Seth came back from a loop once, and we sat down at Four Square Burgers in Tampa with Juice to hear all about it. Seth had learned that I had major heat. How the fuck is that? For what? Oh, right, now I get it. I had been on a loop the previous week, and on the first night I got stiffed really bad, knocked completely fucking stupid, and barely finished the match in a total punch-drunk haze. I have no memory of what happened next because I was concussed, but when we got to the back, allegedly, I, a nobody from FCW, proceeded to motherfuck my opponent about it in front of a locker room full of WWE stars. You can imagine how this may have been received by some. I didn't even know I'd been concussed until the next morning, when I realised I'd been totally out of it all night and couldn't remember any of the match. No big deal, shit happens. We had a great match the next night, and I didn't think anything of it. But gossip happens. Third and fourth hand stories get blown out of proportion, and before you know it, your reputation precedes you. Seth told me another story about some guys who obviously didn't like him trying to get him to drink with them, not in a friendly dude let's have a beer way, but in a hey, we think you're cocky, so we're gonna try and make you do a bunch of shots to prove you're one of the boys bully way. Seth's not a drinker. My fucking blood boiled. That's my boy. I did not care for that at all. This kind of shit brought us together. What were all those guys' problems anyway? Fuck 'em, we thought. When we got our chance, we'll just outwork and outperform all of them. They can't stop us, but it seemed like that's exactly what the whole world was trying to do. Our pitches to creative went ignored. Dr. Tom had been fired. Rob McIntyre had been fired. FCW was in the midst of a hostile takeover and operations were set to move to Orlando. That's where I'm kind of up to. But I just thought that was... just sounds like a fucking nightmare to me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a fun place to work,
no,
does it?
No, not at all.
And that's the thing, like some of these places are going to be fun, some of them aren't. And you know, there might be in the future, some people might have some bad things to say about AEW, but it's been 2 years and no one said shit. Even the, I think they've released like three people. So one was, I think one was Jamie Hayter, and now they've re-signed her again.
Oh, okay.
The other was Bea Priestley, who is now on NXT UK. Good luck finding anything about her anymore. And the third was Jimmy Havoc.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, and, you know, and he's, and I've not seen him bash him or anything like that. I'm sure he's just fucking trying to survive at the moment.
Mm.
But anyway, let's go on to something a little bit more fun. So, a Full Gear. We've been going for quite a while, so let's race through this fucker. So, Chris Oryx, at Chris Oryx 31, put Full Gear hasn't been the same since Clarkson left. It's better. Haha, very funny. At Lee Price has put, my prediction on Full Gear is that I read at least one spoiler before watching it on Monday evening. Really looking forward to it though. My mum's comments are, I can't wait to see Hangman finally win the title. And that hopefully is the way it's going to go. But I'm not so sure, you know. I'm not so sure, but I'll come up with what I think. Just, I fucking got rid of the match card. What a loser. Too busy, when you were reading that out, too busy looking at a Uni Open Day shit.
Oh, crikey, I knew you weren't paying attention. I was
paying attention. Jesus. So let's have a look at this match card. If I can get it up again in the next few minutes. Okay, so lots to fucking get through. So the buy-in. We've got Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter. What? Versus Thunder Rosa and Hikaru Shida. That's an odd buy-in, but fair enough. Then we've got... it is a late addition. Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade. I mean... it'll be a good match, though. They're going to keep trying to put him over.
Yeah, it will be good. But yeah, they will put him over.
Who do you think wins that? It's got to be Black.
I would think so.
With Pac taking the pin.
I'd like to think so. Yeah. Crikey, yeah. I'd hope so.
Who knows? Because that's another question of, you know, would you get some, like somebody like Edge in? It's like, I want to see more of Andrade before I see Edge.
Yeah, of course.
Darby Allin versus MJF. Who's winning that one?
Darby Allin.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think MJF's going to take two losses in a row on pay-per-views.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Oh,
you know.
You're swaying me now.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
It's hard to choose.
I'm going to stick with Darby Allin.
The reason why I think MJF is because if, and it's all a big if,
mm-hmm.
if Hangman wins the belt, MJF's a really good first run.
Yeah, I suppose so. Super heel.
Yeah, to solidify his face. And that, MJF did say, you know, he beat Hangman, and he said it recently on either Dynamite or Rampage.
Mm.
Oh, I beat Hangman for this ring and all this kind of stuff. So they kind of laid the seeds a little bit there.
True.
So that's what I think might
happen. You're one
there.
Step ahead of me. It's like a chess game.
No.
I'm still moving the pawns about like a loser.
No, don't be daft. Eddie Kingston, CM Punk.
Shit! Looking forward to that.
I mean, it's big time. And they did a bit on Dynamite this week, which was a similar kind of brawly type thing.
Yeah.
Apparently. I've not seen it.
I'd like to think Eddie Kingston's going to win. That's just my wishful thinking.
I think if he did win, it'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be crazy. And then CM Punk just like beats him down at the end.
Yeah. I think it's going to turn, like, completely solidify who's going forward as a heel. Because Eddie's always on the fence with that. Mm. And he's, you know, he's done heely shit too.
Yeah,
him
yeah.
and Mox were doing, starting
well,
to...
Well, that's what he was going towards.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's going to decide who's going heel there.
Yeah.
And we'll suss that out as the match goes on.
Yeah.
But I'd like Kingston to win. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, of course, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool. Because he's not had a big win on a pay-per-view. You know, he's. I think the tag title match he had with Moxley, he lost. The title match he had, he lost. So it's all, but I just think, like, if Kingston was winning, it wouldn't have been a 2 week thing, it would have been like a month long thing.
Okay, yeah.
But there's so much like passion going into this. It's just going to be interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that's the match that I'm looking forward to the most.
Same.
To see what happens out of it. Falls Count Anywhere, Jurassic Express and Christian Cage against the Super Click. It's going to just be madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going to be madness. Think? What is... there was a thing that apparently Matt Jackson, do you remember? I don't know if you saw Being Elite.
I saw a bit of it.
But he had he fucked his foot up, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he got thrown off the stage by Luchasaurus and he weren't even on TV.
That's so funny.
And apparently he jokes saying Luchasaurus nearly cost himself his first ever 5-star match. Which is funny. And Matt was like, oh, I was still in it. And he's like, they don't have a 5-star match unless I'm in it.
That's funny.
I don't know, and I don't care who wins that, because it doesn't really matter. So the faces could go over there and give Jungle Boy a big win, and it doesn't affect Cole and the Bucks at all.
No.
If he taps him out with a snare. That's what I think might happen, is Jungle Boy taps out Adam Cole with the snare trap.
Okay.
That's what I think is the finish of that. A Minneapolis street fight, which Excalibur said on the preview show with Tony Khan on the Unfiltered podcast, which I listened to today. The first ever AEW Minneapolis street fight. That, if we were still in the Room 101 mode, I'd put town named matches in there.
It's like
the first ever Minneapolis street fight. It's like, oh my god, who fucking cares about that? You know, who cares about the Miami Hustle fight, the first ever in AEW, first ever. It's like a Minneapolis street fight is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. But you got Inner Circle, so it's Jericho, Sammy, Jake Hager, Santana and Ortiz versus Men of the Year, Junior Dos Santos, Andrei Arlovski and Dan Lambert.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it'll be fun, won't it?
Dan Lambert will have a few spots where he comes in and just, you know, Jericho's lay on the floor and somebody tags him, he just runs in, stomps him in a few times.
Do you suppose this is going to be the order they're in? These matches that you're reading out?
I don't think so, okay. No. I don't think so, because I don't think Kingston and Punk are going to be that early. They might be the first one on.
Mm.
I would put it on first to really, really do it, but... Brian Danielson's kind of in a mode of going on first at the moment, so yeah. I think maybe that might be on it. But yeah, Inner Circle will go over on that. Dan Lambert will get a Judas Effect to the face. 1, 2, 3. It's over. World Title Eliminator Tournament Final. Danielson against Miro. What do you reckon? Miro's best ever match, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not bothered?
Not really. No, not really.
Fair dues, fair dues. I think Danielson's going over, definitely. what should be amazing, AEW World Tag Team Championships, Lucha Brothers versus FTR.
Oof.
That should be a great match.
Yeah, that'll be good. Be really good. Doesn't really matter who wins that.
Well, I think Lucha Brothers will retain, but FTR will still keep those AAA titles somehow, because I don't think they're both on the line. I don't know, I could be wrong. AEW's women's world title match, Britt Baker, Ty Conte.
I don't think Britt Baker's losing.
No, of course he's not. But I think that could go one or two ways. That could be a really good match, or it could be a car crash.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah, because neither of them are that good. The good matches they've had have been in there with somebody who's really good, like a Serena Deeb or a Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
So, like, the matches where they've not had somebody like that in there, it's been good, but it's not been, like, pay-per-view calibre. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Main event, Omega Page. Who's winning? Come on.
I think Hangman's winning.
You think Hangman's winning?
Yeah, I do. I think it's time.
I think Hangman's winning as well. I just think, like you said, I think it is time. I think... you can do a lot more with a face champion. Omega's had it for so long and he's done so well with it. You know, he can go back. Because really, the storyline coming out of Full Gear should be all of the Elite have lost and it's in a turmoil time. So the next pay-per-view should be Cole against Omega.
Yeah.
I think. And then you free Hangman to go against your MJFs and all that kind of stuff while still having Omega putting on fucking ridiculous matches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the... it's got to be it, isn't it? And then Cole takes it off. Because the whole, like, title tournament with, like, Danielson and Miro, like, I'm thinking that's going to be some, like... Do you know, like they do for the Battle Royals and stuff? It'll be some TV match.
Yeah.
And he'll just come short and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. That's Full Gear. I am really looking forward to it.
Me too.
I wish there was a way of watching it, but there just isn't. I mean, I could probably watch it when I get back from, depending on how much I get done on Saturday, we could probably watch it Sunday, like lunchtime when I get back.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how the weekend goes.
It'll be 3 or 4 hours, you know, that'll still give me, like, you know, from 5 till whatever I need to finish things off. So yeah, I think that'll be, because I've not got that much to do. If I'm thinking about it, I've not got as much as I thought I did today. So as long as I do a bit, like, after this, well, do you want me to put Dynamite on?
I'll just have
a little tinkle on the old laptop. Put a few more bio chemistry things in. What I need to put in. So yeah, I think we could probably do it Sunday. Okay. Sunday lunchtime, get some nice lunch in. Do you know what we could do if we really wanted to?
What?
You could go Dynamite, Rampage, Full Gear.
Holy shit.
On Sunday.
Wild. You're a wild man, Andy.
Ooh. Right, well, I better tweet this next match. We better find out who won the match, actually. Who won match 3? Let's have a little look, eh? Final result. 25 votes. It's got more than normal. The winner got 56%.
Tough.
So the loser 44.
So this is Reigns, Britt Baker.
Yeah, the loser got 44%.
Oof. Go on.
The winner is Britt Baker. Roman Reigns has been eliminated in the first round.
Yes.
Get out, big dog. Suck a dick. No, I'm joking. So what's the next match after that? Because I can do that now.
Suck a dick, big dog.
What's the next match?
Oh, shit.
It's your book, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. Oh, shit, what did I do? It's here. Like that. It is... Let me find my page. Hangman and Andrade.
Shit.
Ah, shit. Let's scrub out. Let me just do it so the microphone picks it up. Scrub out Roman Reigns there. Fabuloso.
Round she goes. Britt Baker knocks out Roman Reigns. That is fucking brilliant.
This is why the FA Cup / RTM Cup is so good.
It is.
Anyone can win it.
Does it show you? I mean, I know, like, you know, comparatively to the followers that we've got, they've been about 20 votes each time.
Mm-hmm.
But it does show you, like, the majority of people are AEW fans.
Yeah, 100%.
That are kind of, you know, WWE fucking, oh, I'm sick of these twats and moving on. But they got, you know, a lot of votes each, so it's not like poor Okada, who is going to be the gif of the podcast, of that one of him crying.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be the one. Any more for any more?
I believe not.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's quite serious, that one, wasn't it?
That was a bit.
Quite serious.
Mm.
Serious time, though. We've got Full Gear coming up.
This is it.
Who's like that? Oh, it's just the poll finish. Literally just finished as I was looking at it.
Crikey. So there was longer on it left than I thought, actually.
Yeah. I thought there was only about half an hour left, but it said an hour for about 3 hours, it felt like. But it actually was correct.
Oh, shit.
Who's next again? Sorry. Hangman versus
Andrade.
Match 4. I'll do that after we finish.
Okay.
No, I can't think of anything else.
I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for listening, everyone. As always, find us on Twitter at RTM Wrestling. Join in, vote on the old RTM Cup. Match 4 coming up in the next couple of minutes, but probably, you know, you'll have voted on it before before you listen to this. And until next time.
Cheerio, motherfuckers.
Pip, 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 pip,